I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Look, the Jets were competitive, which I guess is saying something today. A tale of two halves to talk about the Jets. Where are they? The play calling, where do they go from here? We bring in Mark Canisero from the New York Post. Hey, Mark, how are you?
I'm doing great, Lori. Thanks.
So, biggest storyline from today's Jets game for you is what?
I just think the We talked all week about the fact that they were getting some guys back. You know, Denzel Mims, their second-round draft pick receiver, was going to make his debut, which he did. And they had supposedly some more talent coming back. You know, Perryman's back for a second week in a row now. They thought they were going to have a little downfield speed threat for Sam Darnold. And yet the offense just, other than a nice start, it looked as bad as it's looked all year. I mean, they had four total offensive yards in the second half. I mean, that's almost impossible to do. I mean,
Have you ever even heard of that? Seriously, you've covered sports, the NFL, for, all of this for a long time. Have you ever heard of 4 yards in a half?
No. I mean, we're so soon after the game. I mean, Elias Sports Bureau must have some stats for that. But, I mean, obviously, it can't be much worse than that. One, two, or three, or zero, right?
So, right.
I wouldn't surprise me if it's the lowest in the history. I don't know that. I haven't called Elias. But it's really difficult to watch. I mean, and I feel bad for Jet fans who have to watch this every week. And, they try to shake it up. I give Gase some credit for giving Logans the play calling as offensive coordinator to call the plays. And speaking to Gase after the game, he seemed pretty adamant about trying to stay out of the way. And but yet, frankly, early on, I thought it looked good. They had a nice run pass mm-hmm. mix going.
Yeah.
Sam looked good. But I have to say, honestly, Lori, the more I look at Sam, and I don't want to be a downer on Sam because I like Sam, but I feel like we make a lot of excuses for Sam, and most of them are legit, offensive line issues. They were out one of their offensive line men, today.
Mm-hmm.
So, Mekhi Becton was back, at the left tackle position. They had a sub at left guard, and that was it. I mean, should that turn that offensive line into that much of a sieve where, Darnold hadn't, they were blitzed on almost every play in the second half because, it was pretty clear the Jets couldn't handle it,
Yep.
And that's what they did. And the Jets never made him pay for it. And frankly, either on the coaching end, you've got to be able to make some adjustments. And Sam even made a reference, in his conference with us afterwards. They made adjustments on defense, and we didn't adjust to their adjustments. I don't think he was trying to be damning to the coaching staff, but that is damning to the coaching staff. It really is. I mean, there just were no adjustments made. How about going to a hot read, doing something, throwing some draws in there? There's ways to get teams to back off blitzing, and the Jets never really did it. And Sam was just swallowed up.
Talking to Mark Canisero from the Post about the Jets and yet another loss on Sunday. And so I thought Sam Darnold in the offense for most of the first half. There might have only been 10 points on the scoreboard, but they looked good. Sam was in the rhythm. He looked like the quarterback. He looked like in the first half the better quarterback than Josh Allen did out of that draft. And then we get to that last Jets drive before, towards the end of the second half. And he threw, Sam Darnold, as bad an interception as you can possibly see. Like, the oh good Lord, did he just throw that interception. And I felt like that was the turning point in the game. And I know a team should be able to withstand that, but this Jets team seems so... They were playing with confidence. Did it seem like, to you, like everything changed after that?
I think so. I mean, that was a... You know, you can't give the ball away like that. Sam said he was pretty terse after the game for Sam. I think he's just so sick of the losing and the same narrative every week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he could just tell he couldn't wait to get off the podium, you know, and who can blame him? But he, you know, in answering the question about that, he basically said he just tried to force it in. Frankly, I don't think he saw the DB.
Yep.
I mean, I don't know how you could possibly have tried to force it in there. If you know, I mean, that it was just a, you know, it was a terrible angle. It was everything was bad about it. It was pretty clear to me he didn't see the defensive back.
Yep.
So, yeah, that was a big. You can't give that stuff up. I mean, that's on the, you know, the plus side of the field, and you know,
looks
the
like
Jets
at least
are
3 points
challenged
there.
Enough offensively where they can't be doing that.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And you know, let's not forget too that, you know, they went for a 4th-and-1, which I don't kill Gase on,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, frankly, this is a team that needs to kind of just go for it a little bit and make some of their own, you know, make some of their own fortune. And unfortunately, you know, they gave it to Piran, and he couldn't get a yard, you know, and that's on the offensive line as well. I frankly probably would have brought Gore in there if it
yep.
was me.
Me too.
But bottom line is, your offensive line, you ought to be able to get a yard, and
mm-hmm.
they didn't. So, you know, that's another, you know, red zone situation where they, you know, they were in a position to score. And, you know, so there's two opportunities right there to score, and both squandered. And this is a team that scored 7 offensive touchdowns in 7 weeks. I mean, that's, again, hard to do.
What do you do if you are Adam Gase at this point and you pressed the emergency button of switching play callers, of going, you know, you're no longer, at least for a game, you weren't the play caller. You turn to your offensive coordinator, Dowell Loggins, and make him the play caller. And there was it looked like a very good first half, and then no adjustments to the adjustments at all of the defense, and a terrible, epically bad second half. What would you do now if you're Adam Gase? Do you take back the play calling? Do you keep it with Loggins because you saw a positive half? What do you do now?
I would disagree if Gase takes it back after 1 week. You know, I think he needs to stick with Loggins for now and let him, you know, keep calling the plays. I mean, look, it wasn't any worse than Adam Gase calling the plays. Let's put it that way. I mean, he certainly looked, you know, as you referenced and as we just talked about, you know, they looked like they had some decent rhythm going in the first half. And, you know, they also got, you know, they got Mims involved early. He didn't have a catch in the second half, which was, I thought, pretty ridiculous. But, you know, they got him involved a little bit. P. Ryan is, you know, starting to gain a little bit of confidence. So you got to get these guys in. The one thing that bothered me, Laurie, in this with the game plan really was, you know, we hear so much about Perryman and his deep threat ability. They never throw the ball deep.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they didn't do it once the entire game. Now, you can make the excuse, oh, Sam had no time in the second half. But you know what? When he was getting some time in the first half, they didn't go deep either. So, you got to take some shots. I mean, for now, this is an 0-7 team. You can make the argument they should just go deep on every play, you know, and just to hope for a pass interference or a great catch. So that to me is inexcusable in terms of the offensive play calling and has to change, especially because Mims can go up and get the ball. He's got
mm-hmm.
great athletic ability. He was one of the best red zone receivers in college football last year when he was at Baylor. And then you got Perryman, who's again has the athletic ability and the, you know, and the height. I mean, it's just inexcusable to just kind of, you know, to borrow Hank Stram, matriculate your way down the field every time. I mean, you know, I get it, you know, that there's issues with the offensive line and the time, but, you know, I mean, the thing that was a killer was Sam was getting sacked on plays where they had max protection and they had tight ends in. I mean, it's just pathetic. You know, I think, and the only way you're going to get out of that is to, and Gase referenced it during the week, is you have to make people pay for it by converting some big plays.
Mm-hmm.
And the Jets don't try big plays, so it's hard to convert a big play if they're not trying a big play, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And 6 sacks on the day. So for, I don't know, half a second, we can turn to potentially some positives for the Jets for a moment. If you're Joe Douglas, who last week we saw him head in hands in the press box looking like he, you know, ate some bad meat or something watching his Jets play, at least for 1 week, assess, how did you think that Joe Douglas's rookies looked out there?
Well, I think Mims, for the first time out, and the guy's literally had no training camp practices, you know, Laurie, as you know, he hurt his hamstring before they had a first full team session in training camp. So he's only had a couple weeks of practices now. I thought he looked, you know, like he belonged out there to me. Mm-hmm. And I asked him actually afterward if he noticed the different speed of the game, you know, the NFL game versus college, and he said he did feel it, but he felt like he handled it well, and I thought he did. I thought he looked like he belonged out there. So I thought that was very much of a positive, and I think you just got to get the ball to him. The other thing I tell you what you got to do, they need to just try to force the ball, you know, to Chris Herndon. I mean, he seems to be lost. I mean, he's hardly ever on the field.
I was going
to
say,
I stepped off of your rookie question, but, you know, P. Ryan, I think, looked a little bit better today. I mean, he had 11 carries, 39 yards. You know, not dynamic numbers, but he does have the kind of speed on that touchdown that gets around the perimeter of the defense. And, you know, Le'Veon Bell had shown that he didn't have that speed anymore. And obviously Frank Gore isn't that kind of back. So, you know, I thought that was a positive little glimpse there.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, I think Becton has performed well all year.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, obviously, you know, he got hurt. You know, I think he's been, you know, he can make the argument he's the best tackle out of that draft. I mean, you look what's going on with the Giants right now with Thomas. And he looks like the worst out of that first group, you know, and the Giants had pick of the litter, so to speak. So, yeah, I think it's, listen, I think that, you know, the grade is pretty decent, you know, the early returns on these, you know, the problem for Douglas really has been his free agent guys that he's brought in, you know, that those are the guys that haven't really produced. And, you know, I know it's early in the building process, but, you know, I know this is probably an entirely another show, or we can go to the next segment, but, you know, there's going to be a decision that's going to have to be made on Sam Darnold. The Jets are going to finish 0-16 or 1-15 or something. They're probably going to have the number one draft pick, if not the second at the worst. And, you know, if you have a chance at Trevor Lawrence, you can't pass it up. So, you know, that's going to be a very dynamic decision
out there. And I'm with you. I mean, it seems obvious to me that if the Jets get that first overall pick, I've seen, discussions that say, well, do you trade the pick for a haul of picks, or do you draft Trevor Lawrence or whatever it is? And I think it seems obvious that where the Jets are now, and it has actually, it isn't really even about Sam Darnold anymore. It's also, it's about how good Trevor Lawrence looks, that he does legitimately look like that next great quarterback, but also the economics of then getting to reset the rebuild with a, what looks like an above average quarterback on his first year of his rookie deal.
Yeah, no question.
I mean, isn't it a no-brainer?
They have to make that decision, you know, to bring to Sam back, and you got to give Sam a lot of money. I haven't seen enough out of Sam. I don't think anybody really knows what Sam is right now, and that's a little bit damning on, you know, on Sam's part. You know, I mean, even with the bad supporting cast around that he's had around him, and the injuries and all that kind of thing, and the injuries are a big deal too. Now he's missed time in all three of his seasons, so you got to be able to stay in the field, but. Even when he's, I just feel like a guy who's picked third overall in the draft has got to show at least signs that he can put his team on his back and elevate everybody around him. And I haven't seen that in Sam, to be honest with you. Not to be so, you know, down on him, but you know, you saw that in Daniel Jones last year, right? You know, I mean, he had two games with four touchdown passes and one with five touchdown passes. We haven't seen that at Sam, you know, and. So I just think, you know, listen, when Sam Darnold came out, he was not hands down the most dominant player in college football. Trevor Lawrence is the most dominant player that we've seen in quite a few years in college football. So it's apples and oranges in terms of their college careers and kind of, you know, their pedigree coming out. So, yeah, I just think it's a no-brainer. And I don't think you – I know the argument is, you're going to bring Trevor Lawrence in with a bad offensive line, it's going to get him killed, blah, blah, blah. I get it. But they've made some strides in improving the offensive line compared to last year. It's not perfect, obviously, but it's a work in progress, and there has been at least a little bit of progress, even though you'd be hard-pressed to make that argument in the second half today. So I just think Douglas has got to keep building, and you know he's under a 6-year contract, so he's got time to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Lawrence is going to be the centerpiece of that if the Jets have the number one overall pick. I can't imagine it being any other way.
Would it surprise you if Sam ends up in the right situation, if Sam Darnold does go on to have a good NFL career?
Well, actually, it's funny you reference that because I wrote a column in Saturday's Post about exactly that, Laurie, and I just said, it's the Jet fan lament. I mean, you know, just picture him in Steelers, you know,
yep,
black and gold. You know, I mean, Roethlisberger's 38, and he's been talking about retirement for the last couple of years. Especially, can you imagine the Steelers win the Super Bowl this year or something, which they're, you know, certainly on a potential track to do.
Mm-hmm.
I could see him walking away, you know. And, you know, I mean, there's just so many possibilities out there. You know, teams, you know, I mean,
Colts.
Denver certainly, you know, I mean, you know, yep. Elway is going to be looking for another quarterback.
Indianapolis Colts, Patriots.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there are a number of strong organizations: Colts, Patriots, Steelers, that make a lot of sense. Where you know there is no real heir apparent, and depending on where they draft, if you put Sam Darnold and surrounded him with talent, we don't know. As you said, we don't know
who he is. The interesting dynamic. Sorry to interrupt you, Laurie. I know you probably got to go, but the interesting dynamic, which is the point I made out, is I don't view Sam as damaged goods the way Mark Sanchez was by the time he left the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
I think they just ruined him by the time he was done. Rex, you know, with his irresponsible, you know, preseason situation, getting him, you know, half broken in half, and I think Sam is still, you know, fresh of mind and certainly, you know, healthy, you know, it's healthy enough and with enough upside that he's going to get an opportunity somewhere, you know, if and when the Jets, you know, move in a different direction. He's going to get an opportunity someplace. Whether it's a high-end backup that has a chance to win a job or somebody who just flat-out gives him a chance to win a job. And I can absolutely see him with the right cast around him being successful. And, you know, it'll be just another thing for the Jet fan to bitch about.
Yeah.
Right.
Last real quick before I let you go is this 2020 Jets, 1996 Rich Kotite Jets, the Gase Jets, the Kotite Jets, which is more of a debacle?
Debacle is an interesting word because I think Kotite Jets were much more of a debacle, Laurie. I covered that team. I did a big story last week about that. Talked to a bunch of the 96 guys. They had a lot more talent on that 96 team. You know, when you think about it, Parcells comes in with the same core of players and goes 9-7 the next year and then almost gets to the Super Bowl the next year in 98. So this team doesn't have that kind of talent. So I think this team, talent-wise, is a worse team. But Kotite was such a bad coach, you know, that I think there was so much calamity that took place in his tenure there. You know, this team, the one thing I give Gase credit on, and I gave it to him at the end of last year, I give it to him where we are right now, is, you know, his locker room is not divided. You don't have guys sniping, you know, behind each other's back, you know, covering their butts and all that kind of stuff. The team has stayed kind of together, and, you know, they went 6-2 down the stretch last year. I don't see that happening this year, but I give him credit for that, but that's, you know, that's very, very faint credit, obviously. But, yeah, I think this team has worse set of talent, without question.
All right, you heard it from Mark Canisero. Always appreciate the time. We'll catch up with you down the road.
Anytime, Laurie. Thanks for having me.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.